Did you hear all that noise down front, all that hooping and hollering? That's the staff. They get paid to do that, just so you know. I'm just kidding. Hey, good to see you today. We started a series last week on the Holy Spirit, simply called His Presence. We're going to continue that today. So if you've got a Bible and you want to follow along with what we're going to be reading today, turn to Galatians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible or you don't want to follow along, we'll have verses on the screen. Before I start, let me just say real quick, this is March 17th, which makes today St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Remember when your kids, if you're not wearing green on St. Patrick's Day, you get pinched? Look over, if you see somebody not wearing green, just reach over and give them a good pinch and say, "Nice to meet you." On the arm, preferably. Okay, on the arm, preferably. I know from my family history, I do have a little bit of Irish blood in me. That's why I sunburn and have freckles. I also have some English blood. Several years ago, I did the 23andMe thing, and I found out that most of my ancestry is Western European, but I also found out I am 0.01% West African. So I'm very diverse, okay, no matter how you look at it. So no matter where you came from, we're glad you're here today. We started last week talking about God's presence, His presence in our lives. And I want to go back and just cover a couple things real quickly in setting up today's message. Jesus came to earth, and He was God in the flesh. God in a flesh and bone body, just like you and me. But we read in John chapter 16 that Jesus was about to go to the cross and ascend back to the Father later on. So He begins to prepare His followers for His leaving. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus said this to His followers, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." That verse is the launching pad for this series, 3 weeks, talking about His presence in our lives. And we shared the thought, and if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to the message. I promise you it'll help you. God is omnipresent, which means He's everywhere all at the same time. And you say, well, how is that? It's because God is spirit. John chapter 3, John chapter 4, Jesus on different occasions talked about God being spirit and us being born of His spirit. But as it is every Sunday, but especially today, we come to this place, start worshiping God, and you just sense the presence of God here in the house. It's like, wow, sense that presence. That is God. Technically, is that me? Yeah, it was. That is obnoxious, okay? But technically, when we sense God's presence, that is God's spirit that we sense here in the house. What Scripture calls the Holy Spirit. But you know, there's a great lack of knowledge and understanding of what the Bible teaches about God's spirit and His presence in our lives. I heard a story a few days ago about a group of ministers who gathered to have a discussion. They came from different church backgrounds. They're all ministers who were ordained ministers. And so one of them was teaching on the Holy Spirit. And when they finished the meeting, they began to have a discussion. And as they went around the room, around the circle, everyone just throwing in their two cents about the Holy Spirit, different people were sharing different things. But they came to one of the ministers who said, "I know a lot about God the Father, and I know a lot about God the Son, but to be honest, I need to do some research because I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit." And see, there's a lot of that in our church world for a lot of reasons, and I don't want to get into that today. But last week, we talked about the fact that the Spirit of God comes to work for us. He draws us to a place of faith in God. That's His first work in our lives. Once we receive Christ as our Savior, He then moves inside us and lives in us. It's called the new birth or regeneration. And then He begins to help us. Last week's message, to a great extent, was about the Helper. He helps us learn the ways of this new life in Christ. He teaches us how to live the truth of God's word. And then he begins to guide us into the right pathways. That was last week's message. So we concluded with this. We need to learn to be aware of and welcome the presence of God's Spirit in our lives. He's come to work for us. But today we're going to shift gears and we're going to go on to the second part of the series. He also comes to work in us. In us. The Spirit of God that lives in you, yes, he's working for you, but he's also come to work in you. When Jesus was asked by the religious leaders one day about the greatest commandment of all, you know, depending on what kind of background you come from in churches, man, some people have 1,001 regulations and commandments and rules. And so they're asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of all? He said, the greatest commandment is that you love God with everything you've got. But then he went one step further and he said, the second commandment is that you love people as you love yourself. Then Jesus made this statement. He said, all the law, all the prophets, all the commandments that you might see in Scripture, they're all fulfilled in those two things. If I love God and I love people, I won't be breaking the commandments that God has for my life. So I want to take a minute as I begin this message, and I want to talk to you about love from Scripture, what Scripture in the New Testament would call agape love. Agape love is kindled by value. Now, let me explain that to you. For God so loved the world. People say, well, God sent his son to die for us because he loved us. That's right. But the reason he loved us, his love went into action, was because he saw value in us. You see, God put his son on a cross for our sins to bring us into relationship with him because he sees value in each and every one of us. Now, let me teach this to you for a minute. I haven't taught this in years. When God created mankind, Adam and Eve, when he creates mankind, he blesses them. He blesses them. He puts his spirit upon them and he releases them and gives them authority in the earth. And as soon as God put his value on mankind, Satan went to work trying to devalue what God values most. Of everything God created, the thing he values most is you and me, mankind. Because you and I are made in the likeness and the image of God. So, God loves us, and when we receive his love and we embrace it and accept it and we come into relationship with him, then it makes it easy for us to begin to build that relationship because we know we're loved, we're accepted, we're the children of God, his spirit lives in us, and he wants us in his family. But then the second part of this is, his spirit that lives in us also wants us to value the other things that God values most, which is other people. Now, some of you already know this, but some of you don't. For the one or two people who don't know this, let me say it today. God loves everybody else in this room just as much as he loves you. I'm not the only one God loves. Sometimes I think I'm the only one who deserves his love, but that's not right. Now, having said that, let me just say this. Love, agape love, is not kind of some kind of sweet, syrupy fakeness. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, why'd I just love you so much? I love you with the love of the Lord. And then I get in my car and look at my wife and say, yeah, Wyatt's a jerk. But when I'm at church, I love him with the love of the Lord. That's not what agape is. Agape is, I look at Wyatt and I find the value that God's put in him that made God love him so much that I can overlook some of his faults to find the good that's in him. Ooh, I thought the rapture was taking place for a minute there. Some of you don't even believe in it, and it was about to happen, you know? That's scary. But you know, sometimes we struggle to value God and honor Him the way we should. Oftentimes, we struggle to value people as we should. The Spirit of God, His presence, the Holy Spirit brings God's nature into our lives so we can begin to see things the way God sees it and respond the way God would. And that's a lot in that one statement, but it's so true. So I want to begin with a question today. What motivates me? Ask yourself the question. What motivates me? What motivates my actions? The things that start inside that I release, what motivates that? What is it that motivates and determines and rules my lifestyle? Because it's one of two things. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fact that even as children of God, we have a war going on inside of us. Every one of us. We have a war going on inside of us. Let's read about it. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. To walk means to live in the Spirit. Live being motivated by the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, walk with the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now pause here just a moment. This war is going on because I have the flesh that wants some things, and now I have the Spirit of God living in me that wants different things. And these two things are butting heads all the time. And whatever I choose to do in any given situation, I'm either going with the flesh or I'm going with the Spirit of God. So there's this war going on inside of us. But notice what he says in verse 18. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. In other words, if I'm following the Spirit, I'm not breaking the 1,000 commandments because I'm not lost thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do this and I can't do this. All I'm thinking is I'm walking with God and I get to do all this cool stuff and God's blessing my life and I'm just going to keep walking with Him. I'm going to get along with God, draw closer. I'm going to get along with people. Man, life is beautiful. But if I'm going the other way, all kinds of problems are being created. So we have two natures at war within us. The new man and the old man, the old way of life that I'm trying to get away from, and then the new life that I want to live with God. But following God's Spirit keeps me in harmony with God and people. I think in the big picture of life, walking with God really breaks down to two things: staying in relationship with Him and getting along with people. Staying in relationship with Him and getting along with people. So now let's pick it up at verse number 19. Because Paul in his writings here in Galatians 5 begins to describe some of this battle. First he talks about the old motivation, my fallen nature, my flesh, the wrong desires I have inside. Verse 19 he said, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. You see, why are you reading so slowly? Because I want you to think about these words with me as I go. Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. Verse 21, he keeps going. He gives us 17 things here. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, everybody, look right here in the pastor's face. If I'm your pastor, I want you to hear me for a minute, okay? If you're not, you may not want to listen, that's fine. But if I'm your pastor, hear the shepherd's voice here. I don't care what your theology is. I don't care what you think about lifestyle and eternity and all that. Scripture's clear that if I'm living an ungodly lifestyle, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. Simple. I don't care what your beliefs are. I don't care what you think. That's in violation of Scripture. I know some people who think, well, I prayed the magic prayer, so now I'll just go back to living the way I was, and God has to take care of me for eternity. No, he doesn't. Ooh, it's quiet in here. That's because we're taught things to keep us coming back to church. It'll make you feel good about yourself when you should be facing reality. Come on, somebody. I can't say this kind of stuff second service. They'll get upset with me, but I can say it first service. So what Paul does here, he gives us four basic areas of struggle, all those 17 things. I'm going to put it in four categories real fast. Number one, he talks about sexual sin and sexual desires that are uncontrolled. I've read the Bible. I've studied it. Let me tell you what I've concluded about this topic. God puts his approval and his blessing on sexual activity between a man and a woman in marriage. In marriage. Outside of that, he calls it fornication and adultery and other things. You read the whole of Scripture, it's there. The second thing, he said, creating and worshiping and inquiring of other gods. Creating other gods to worship, finding other things that pull you away from God and interfere with your relationship with God. Seeking out palm readers, soothsayers, tea leaf readers. Can I tell you something? That's all of the devil. Those are demonic voices. You don't need to be listening to them. You need to stay away from them. They will lead you down a road, and then they'll put the noose around your neck and hang you. That's what they will do. Okay? Here's the thing. If these areas, these two areas of my life are out of control, my relationship with God will be broken. But the Spirit of God lives in us to lead me away from those influences, to keep me in relationship with God. In other words, let me put it this way. When the Spirit of God lives in you, and all of a sudden temptation is on your doorstep, the Spirit of God rises up and says, uh-uh, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Uh-uh, don't do that. Oh, but I'm kind of intrigued by that. Yeah, you're intrigued by that, but you don't want to go there. Well, I'm not going to really go there, but I'm going to get real close so I can kind of see it and just kind of know. And the next thing you know, you step into it, and the Spirit of God says, I tried to tell you. See, this is why I need to be aware of the presence of God in my life. He helps keep me in relationship with God and keep things in order in my life. Did you ever stop to think that God loves us so much? He not only forgave our sins, but he came and moved inside of us to help us navigate relationship with him. That's how much he loves us. But then the third thing that Paul really gets to, third category, it's my attitudes toward myself and towards other people. Some of us think too little of ourselves. Some of us think too much of ourselves. Or we think of ourselves too much. Okay? And when my image of who I am in Christ gets messed up, I begin to see people in the wrong way. It causes me to not see people clearly. And then the fourth thing he talks about is a lack of personal self-control. Talks about drunkenness and revelries, getting out there and give yourselves over to appetites that just ruin your life and mess things up. But when these last two are out of control, it begins to affect my relationship, not just with God, but it begins to affect my relationship with people. Jesus said, love God and love people. When I was a young minister, started pastoring, I was in my early 30s. I got into a study in Scripture, not just the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we're about to read about, but also the what's called the Beatitudes, the attitudes that Christ said we should have. It turned me inside out because I'd been raised in a church atmosphere that was all about works and performance and do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that and judge yourself based on how you see other people. And if you're living a better life than them, you're a better Christian. And all this stuff came to the surface, and God began to just take me apart and help me understand that I'd been taught things that were wrong in church, and I was a Pharisee. Because I was better than most people. And what I learned out of that was I was lost in my sin. Oh, I'd prayed the magic prayer. I was already in ministry. But I didn't see people correctly because of what I'd been taught in church. This is good, especially if you come from a legalistic background. That must be why it's so quiet. Everybody came from legalistic backgrounds. But then look at verse 22, because Paul says, all that stuff's in your old nature, and there's a part of you that wants to do some of that stuff. Some of you want to do all that stuff. But then notice what he says in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the motivation of the Spirit, what the Spirit does is he brings love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, which is a softness towards people, goodness, which is that kindness expressed in actions, faithfulness, which makes me live up to my word and honor my word, gentleness, which is really about humility, and then self-control. And he goes on to say, against such there is no law. Here's what Paul is saying. When you accept Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God moves inside of you, he's there and he brings the nature of God with him into your life. And then you begin this journey of overcoming old things by being motivated by the new things of the Spirit. It's good. So there's this old motivation, and I repent, I turn my back on it, and I say, I don't want that life anymore. I want the God life. So the Spirit of God brings the God life to me, but I have to learn how to start walking this out and how to follow the motivations of the Spirit rather than my old motivations of the flesh. The longer you walk with Christ, the easier that should become. If you're a new believer, you say, well, I can't follow God. I can't live up to it. Yes, you can. You will learn. You will grow in Christ. Don't get discouraged and don't give up. But if you've been walking with Christ a long time and you still got 47 things you haven't conquered, it's time to start being motivated by the Spirit rather than the flesh. And that's old-fashioned preaching there, but it is good. It's true. So the presence of God's Spirit brings right desires and the ability to overcome ungodly desires and actions. The presence of God puts me at ease with God. Let me say it this way. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. When God's love comes in, when God's joy comes in, when God's peace comes in, I'm no longer afraid of God. I don't run from him. I run to him because I know I'm his child and he wants to be close to me. That's part of what the Spirit of God does for us. The Spirit of God brings us things that make us draw close to God. Love, joy, peace. Now, and I'm going to tell you, if I'm struggling with my personal lifestyle or with people, I'm not allowing God's Spirit to lead me. Because that same Spirit that puts me at rest and at peace with God and brings me into relationship should also help me come into relationship with other people, especially believers, because that's my eternal family. Now, this is a whole other message, and you guys remind me, we'll do this in a few weeks, but there are some people that are hard to love. Every family's got one. If you don't know who that is in your family, you are the one. You're it, okay? That's how that works. So how do we win this war? How do we win this war that's going on inside of us? Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit brings to us. By the way, we need to learn to lean on the Spirit and His help. Let Him change our attitudes and our thinking to deal with people correctly. But then Paul starts summing this up, and I'm going to real quickly finish this message. How do we win the war within? Verse 24. Paul says, and those who are Christ's. Stop right there. How many of you belong to Christ? How many of you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior? You belong to Christ. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. A couple Fridays from now, we're going to look at the crucifixion of Jesus. Crucifixion was ugly. They nailed Him to a cross. Paul said that's what you need to do with your old way of living. You need to nail it to a cross, consider it to be dead, and make the decision to walk away from it and follow Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been reading the Bible, studying the Bible a lot of years. I know we are saved by grace through faith. I know that. I know that. Okay? But I also know if I'm going to crucify the flesh, the old nature, I've got to set my will. I've got to determine in my heart, I'm not going back there. I'm following Jesus. See, a lot of people live this way. Oh, God, forgive me of all my sins, especially the ones I'm going to do this week. And then I'll go to church Sunday and I'll act like I'm really good and really sweet and really great, and then I'll go right back to the old pig's pen. That's not why God saved you. God saved you in the pig pen to get you out of the pig pen, not to keep you in the pig pen. Boy, I like this because second service won't clap for me. They're the looky-loos. They won't clap for me. So God wants to pull me out of that, but I have to make the decision. I am not going back to the old life. That doesn't mean I won't make mistakes. That doesn't mean I'm going to have some faults and some sins along the way. But it means my relationship with God is not going to suffer, because I'm going to go to God and I'm going to ask for forgiveness and get my heart right with Him. Okay? So I have to choose to crucify, not just deny, crucify. Nail those things to Christ's cross, walk away from it. Second thing, verse 25. I love the way he says this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I like to say it this way. Walk the walk and talk the talk. Don't talk about being a follower of Jesus. Be a follower of Jesus. Don't go to church on Sundays and say, oh yeah, I'm in, and then go out on Monday and say, eh, not so much. Walk the walk and talk the talk. Don't be double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You never know where he's going. You crucify the flesh, and then you set your will and your mind on walking with the Lord and walking in the power of the Spirit. And what Paul said was, if you're claiming to be saved and have experienced the Spirit of God in your life, then you should be walking in the power of the Spirit. See, if I embrace this new life in Christ, I will have the desire to walk with God and live following the leading of His Spirit. Then the last thing, verse 26. Paul says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Last thing, I need to guard my heart. Guard my heart, guard my heart. When things get in your heart that you know aren't right, you need to get it out of there. You need to say, nope, 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 I'm killing that too. I'm putting that on the cross too. I'm not going back to the old way of life. And in closing today, Paul nails three things. First, he says self-conceit, where I think I'm above everybody else and I think I have really arrived. I've been walking with Jesus since I was 18, 19 years old, sincerely walking with Jesus, and He is still working on me. My wife will say amen to that. That may have been her that I heard down there. When I'm driving on the freeways, God is working in me. While I am yelling at people, God is working in me. My wife wants to be my little Holy Spirit helper in the car. And she helps me know when I'm not listening to God. Self-conceit, personal exaltation. It's where I come to the place where I say, well, I'm better than you. That's wrong. When we begin to compare ourselves to other people instead of comparing ourselves to Jesus. You want to know when you've arrived? Don't compare yourself to me. Compare yourself to Jesus. Second thing he says, don't be provoking towards one another. Don't be challenging. Don't be irritating one another. Don't be creating conflict and disunity. That's not of the Spirit of God. That is of the flesh. That's my old nature. The new nature creates unity. And the last thing, envying, having jealousy of other people. Well, look at him. Doesn't he think he's something? Isn't it funny when we see people doing things right, how sometimes we want to criticize them and try to break them down? That's jealousy. That's envy. It's not of God. You see, in the big picture of life, I choose how I will interact with God and people. The big picture of life, I'm choosing today. I'm going to follow God and not follow the old life. But every day that I live in the micro, in little, every little individual situation, I still have to choose how I will interact with God and people, according to my old nature or my new nature. Follow God's Spirit. Follow the leading of the Spirit. That's why he put the Spirit in you, so you could follow him. His presence in your life. I close kind of where I started. What's motivating your lifestyle? Your relationship with God and your relationship with people. I want to pray for you today, okay? This is not about, well, go change yourself and do right. This is about let the Holy Spirit work in you. Because these changes only come from the inside out, not from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. Let me pray for you. Father, pray for every person in this room today that you would simply massage our hearts, that you would tap on us where we need to hear from you. God, the things that are going on in us, the things that might not align with your nature, show those things to us, each one of us individually. Show me, Father, where I'm not aligning with you. Give me an opportunity. Give me the ability by the power of your Spirit to make adjustments and corrections in my life and follow you wholly and completely. While heads are still bowed for one more moment, maybe you're here today. Maybe you've listened to this and you said, you know what? I want to follow Jesus. I need God's help. And maybe there's something stirring inside of you and you're realizing this is real. That's the Spirit of God trying to bring you into relationship with God. But as much as he can pull at your heart and offer his grace to you, you have to have the faith to say, yes, I believe. It all begins with words, with a prayer and saying, God, I'll follow you. I want to lead you in a prayer today that'll just help open your heart to God. I'm going to ask everybody in the house to pray this with me, right out loud, not be ashamed of it. It'll help those around you. You don't need to yell and scream the words, but let's wrap our hearts around this prayer. Let's pray this together. Say, God, I need you. So I come to you now. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for loving me. I believe you put Jesus on a cross to pay for my sin. I receive that sacrifice for forgiveness of my sin. I choose Jesus to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. I want to know you. I want to draw close to you. I want to learn your ways. I want my life to become an expression of your Spirit. So I surrender to you today. Teach me. I will follow you. Thank you for calling me and receiving me today. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, when service is over today, we want to give you a gift. It's a simple little booklet, a tool called The Next 7 Days. It's just really simple reading, a little bit for each day this coming week to help you get started walking with God. We'd love to put it in your hand. If you're watching online, there are instructions on your screen as to how you can receive that online. If you're in the house, when service is over, there'll be prayer teams right here at the front of the building. They're here to help anybody praying over any need. But if you will walk up to one of these prayer teams and just say, "Can I get the booklet?" They'll give it to you right there, no strings attached. If you've got questions, they can help you. If you want prayer for something else, they'll help you. But please let us give this to you today. If you're in a really big rush, out in the lobby at our info center, you can stop by there. They'll give you the same book there. We simply want to help you get started walking with God. Can we put our hands together and welcome new believers into God's family? God bless you. Now, before we go today, two things real quickly in closing. Number one is, every week we worship God with our giving. Some people give in person, some people give electronically. There are different ways you can give. Choose what way is best for you. We encourage you to honor God with the blessings He's given you and then watch Him work in your life. We do this as an act of worship. I'm going to tell you something. You can't beat God giving. He's amazing. And I just want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. Your blessing to us today. If you need a giving envelope, there are envelopes on the back of the seats. Also, as you leave the auditorium, there's a giving station on each side. There's also one at the children's check-in area. Thank you once again for your faithfulness in giving.